I'm going to read as a text this 14th verse, but let me read the 13th along with it. I'm reading from the 7th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. And when the Lord Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier or the casket, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Now you that are listening to this by means of, I'm going to put a title on this, Compassion of Christ. That he does compare, he does rather, he is concerned about your need and the situation you're in. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what trouble you are going through. There is somebody who cares about you. And you don't have to stay in that situation. There is a way out of your dilemma, and Jesus is the way out. Now, I receive thousands and thousands of letters from people, and they bear their heart to me on paper by means of letter writing. And they say, "Why is it God does not hear my prayer?" God does hear your prayer. What am I doing wrong? We always, when we don't get an answer from God right away, we want to know, what is it that I'm not doing right? It's not you, it's God, and he does care about you. Now, we preachers that preach faith, we write so many books on 6 and 7 steps to faith, and we're confused every time we read a book on faith. But faith is not a formula. We're not here to reduce faith to a formula. This particular incident, and this is the reason why I choose this story, there is no faith connected with it. The woman doesn't even ask for a miracle. It's unasked for. She's just bearing her son. And she happened to go by Jesus, but you can't even have a burial service when he's... I kind of like that. You can't even bury your dead when Jesus walks by. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus saw the tears of this little woman on her way to the cemetery, and he was moved with compassion to give this woman something that she wasn't even searching for. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. God sees your broken heart. You that are bound by drugs, hooked on AIDS, you haven't found an answer to your solution. I want you to know, to your problem rather, that Jesus Christ is not dead, but he is alive. And he's the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. And he will solve your problem. He will make a way where there is no way. Since I'm talking about a man that's being buried, the man's dead, flat dead. I don't know whether, well, I have. I've probably told this a number of times, but I had a tent up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And of all places, I had that tent on a burial ground. I mean, I didn't tell the folks that. They wouldn't come out. I mean, they were underground. I mean, they were dead, but there was nobody dead under that tent. We had a revival. It was one of the greatest revivals I had in the time of the 60s. And I'll never forget, a gentleman came into that tent, and the people were shouting and praising God, and all of a sudden, he died in that service. I didn't know it. I leaped off that platform. He was sitting in the fourth row, and a woman sitting next to him, she wasn't even related, but she had sense enough to loosen his tie, and his head was back. He lost control of his bladder, and I ran through four rows of seats, and I rebuked death. I never did this before in my life, and I commanded life to come back into his body. He would not respond to me. I talked to him, but he wouldn't answer. Now, I don't know whether I believe that God heard me or not. I really believe God did hear me, but I wondered why he never answered me. But I wasn't done with my sermon, and I wasn't about to let anybody disturb my message. So I had my tent men come. I said, get him out of here and drop him behind the platform. And I went on and preached, gave an altar call, and he's laying back there. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I laid hands, I gave an altar call, I laid hands on about 800 people. The service was over, I went back to the motel. When all of a sudden, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke out of a dead sleep and I said, the man died, where is he? I forgot all about him. I didn't call the police, I didn't call anybody. I said, he's still laying behind that platform. Well, I said, let the night watchman pray for him. I'm going back to bed. I went back to sleep, and I went to the service the next night, and I looked back there first, and nothing was there. And I said, well, I guess he took care of it. And before I preached, I said, I want three of the happiest people here tonight to come running and tell me why you're happy. And I saw this man come a-running first, dressed up, had a new suit on. I didn't know who he was. And I'll never forget, I put that microphone in front of him and I said, why are you happy, brother? He said, I died dead last night. And I pulled the mic from him. I said, what do I got here? How else can you die but dead? And he saw I was looked a little concerned. He said, Brother Shambach, you don't remember me? I said, no, sir. Well, he said, you ought to know me. He said, you come running through four rows of chairs. I said, get out of here. He said, I was that man. He said, I had four heart attacks. The scars were there. And the doctor told me if I had another heart attack, it was it. The last one, I'd die on the spot. He said, I sat in your service last night and I had my fifth heart attack. He said, I died. I was out of my body. But he said, I saw you running through four rows of chairs. And he said, you laid hands on me and called my spirit back into my body. Now you listen to this. He said, preacher, tears ran down his face. He said, last night I wasn't saved. He said, I died and I was on my way to hell. But thank God you ran through four rows of chair and you called my spirit back. And he said, God gave me another chance. And he said, last night I got saved. I've come back to life. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, gave me a brand new heart, and I am a new creation. I said, you were that man? He said, yeah, but I can't understand it. When he said, when I came to, I was lying behind the platform. He said, how'd I get back there? I said, forget about that. Go on with your story. I'll tell you more about that later on. Are you listening to me, folks? Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know, he said, I went to the doctor today and he examined me and he told me what happened to you. He said, I don't even see those four scars you had on that heart. He says, you got a brand new heart. He said, I know I do. He said, last night, Jesus came into my life. The old life is done away with. I've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been touched with the resurrection power of all Almighty God. He said, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live because I was touched with the supernatural power of the living Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I come to tell you, he is your answer. I don't care whether you have a headache. I don't care whether you're dying with cancer. I don't care if your home is broken up. You may be hooked on drugs, bound by the devil of lust for alcohol. You may be perverted in your sex life, but I come to tell you, Jesus is your answer. He is concerned about you. He will make a way where there is no way. He will turn it around. He will touch you with his mighty hand, and you'll never be the same again. Raise your hands and shout amen. I'm reading from the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And I've been reading verse 13 and 14, and I'm going to deal with this. And when the Lord saw her, this woman, he had compassion on her. I love that expression. He had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, speaking to the young man that was dead in that casket, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And when he speaks, there has to be an answer. Can you shout amen? Now, this particular theme, this subject that I've been dealing with, the compassion of Christ, or an unasked for miracle. You can put your own title on it, but I want to show you the relationship that Christ has with humanity, whether it be a woman or whether it be a man, whether it be a boy or a girl, whoever you are. Jesus is concerned about you, and he will perform a miracle in your behalf. He dries the tears of this woman. He was moved with compassion. If you recall the story, I read the entire thing to you. It says, many of his disciples went with him and much people. There was a procession going into the city of Nain. And then there was a procession coming out. When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and listen, and much people of the city was with her. Now, I want you to see the scenario. Jesus, with a group of people going in, comes the widow with her only son dead in a casket, being carried out with another procession. And Jesus confronted this woman, and he was moved when he saw the woman weep. Think about it. The disciples, they never even considered that Jesus would stop a funeral procession. But here, Jesus confronts the woman, and his compassion goes out toward her. The human emotion of unmingled pity, if you will, moves into action immediately. He doesn't even wait for a reaction from the woman because she's weeping, but he wants the world to know that he is moved with your grief. Hear me, mama. Many of you, you shed tears in your room. You put on a different face when you go to church. But a lot of people don't know what's going on in your heart. You know what I'm talking about. Grief have stricken you. But I want you to know that God sees your tears. He sees those hours that you're alone crying out to him. He is concerned. He loves you. And he feels the same pain and the sorrow that you're going through. And he was moved to action. Unselfish. He absorbed self. He was concerned about what this woman was going through. A lonely woman feeling the pain and sorrow of this individual. This is God. This is God in the flesh. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He's not only the God of that woman and the God of that people that walked the shores of Galilee, but he is my God. Hallelujah. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you know him for yourself, he belongs to you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even unto the end of the age, he will turn the situation around, and he dries the tears of this woman before he raises the dead. I love it. Before he calls life back into that body, he says to the woman, weep not.
Oh, there's a message in that, brother. Weep not. He will dry your tears. This is the reason why I come to your city. God's seen your cry. He's seen your tears. And his answer is, you don't have to cry anymore. You don't have to weep any longer. And he who tells you to weep not, then he will take away the thing that's causing you to weep. What's causing this woman to weep? She's burying her only son. And the only way that he can cause her not to weep, he talks to the young lad and said, "Sir, son, man, I say unto thee, arise." Don't tell me she didn't have her tears dried up. She never heard it on this wise. Here she is on the way to bury a son, the only son that she has. And he says, "Weep not." The next thing he does, he takes away the occasion for weeping. What is it that's causing you to weep? Oh, everyone within the sound of my voice, every one of you listening to, some of you are in sin. This is causing a mother to weep over you. Mama's been weeping and crying out to God in your behalf. You can run from God, but you can't hide. You think you've been running that radio dial trying to find some rock and roll music, but instead you got a hold of the rock and roll preacher. Can you shout amen? I got my feet on the rock and my name's on the roll. And you're hearing the gospel preached. Some mother's prayer is going to be answered. You can't hide from God. God knows your hiding place and he'll arrest you on the spot. God's going to save you. God's going to heal you. God's going to deliver you from drugs. The occasion for weeping will be answered. God will answer your cry. Can you shout amen? That sickness that you've been carrying in your body, you wonder, why doesn't God heal me? I come to tell you, he healed you 2,000 years ago. The price has already been paid. Before he shed his blood on Calvary, he went to the whipping post and they stripped him naked to the waist and they brought a whip down across his back. 40 stripes save one, and he carried stripes in his body for your physical healing. Isaiah, hundreds of years before the manifestation of Christ, he said, "Who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The arm of the Lord is revealed only to them that believe the report. You got to believe the report before the arm of the Lord is revealed unto you. Who? Who? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who hath believed our report? What is the report? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the report I believe. Yeah, but preacher, I got a bad report from my doctor. Don't believe that report. Believe this report. God said, by his stripes you're healed. Hallelujah. He'll take away the occasion for weeping. Weep no longer. Doctors say you'll not live, but you will die. The devil is a liar. God said you shall live and not die. I believe that report, and God cannot lie. Raise your hands and shout amen with me. Hallelujah. We just come out of New York City where I've seen people bound by drugs, hooked on AIDS, but somehow God heard the cry of the people. Those that are bound by drugs, we've seen thousands of them delivered and set free. There's no cure for AIDS, but we found the cure. Jesus is the answer. That's the reason why I'm reading this to you. He called a man back from the dead. I'm talking about a God. He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus of Nazareth, he is the creator. He's the one that spoke the heavens into existence. He spoke the sun and the moon and the stars. He's the one that says, son, rise, awake out of sleep, and he that was dead has come alive. Raise your hands and shout amen with me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
You that are here tonight, don't be concerned. I won't be here all week. I'm talking to my radio audience. I'll be finished here in a few moments.
Verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. When he says that, he's getting ready to deliver you from your trouble. Whatever's causing you to weep, he's going to set you free from it. Weep not. And he came and touched the casket, the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. You notice it's not a theological discussion, but it's just a command. He talks to the young man, I say unto thee, arise. No ifs, ands, buts, maybes, or hope so. This is the antagonist of death. This is life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he, in front of his little group going up into that city, meeting another little group, life face to face with death. That's the way I like to look at it. This one group coming out of the city represents death. The group coming into the city, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The crowd is hurrying down the hill to bury the boy in the tombs. Jesus is toiling up into the hill to the city, standing face to face. And the great work that Jesus has is to stop the triumphant march of death. That's what he's come for. And he sees the woman weeping. He waits for no cry. Many times Jesus is moved by the cry of a mother for a son or a daughter. The centurion for his servant. A father, a nobleman for his son. But this woman never pleaded her case. She's going to bury her only son. And she meets life head on. And Jesus is moved by compassion. And he says, weep not. Jesus acts. He comes into action with nothing. Listen, with nothing but his bare, naked word. I love this. I say unto thee, arise. That's the word. That's God talking. That's God in the flesh. That's Jesus. His voice has power in the regions of the dead. Are you listening to me? He wasn't talking to that boy. That boy had no consciousness. He was dead. But this is resurrection life talking. He's talking to where that boy was. He spake and the boy heard him. God, I love this. There is a separation, the boy from his body, but the body was not destroyed. Hear me, man lives after he is dead. Consciousness then is not a function of the brain. Are you listening to me? I says then, if this is truth, consciousness is not a function of the brain, but Christ wills it. His authority is in the region of the dead. The boy left the body. He's in the regions of the dead. And he says, young man. Who is this talking? Resurrection and life. I say unto thee, arise. That boy can't arise until that boy comes back from the regions of the dead and crawls back in that body of flesh. And he doesn't have a bit of sense, but sit up and he begins to talk to God. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Somebody says there's no hope. As long as you got breath in your lungs, there is hope. Even if there ain't breath in your lungs. This boy didn't have any breath in his lungs, but God called him back from the dead. I come to tell you that he has an answer to your problem. He has power over death. Hallelujah. I kind of believe he was just warming up because he knew he had to die on the cross. And he knew he had to die. He knew he had to go into the regions of the dead. He's going down there one of these days. It won't be long, but he sent his voice down there ahead of him. I say unto thee, young man, arise! I love it. I said, I love it. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know Jesus. But I am an impossible situation. Well, he'll knock the I am off of it. And all things are possible to him that believeth. It'll no longer be an impossible situation because he will make a way where there is no way. And every one of you that are listening by means of radio and you that are in my audience tonight, the hour is coming when there's going to be a reunion of the dead with the body. Every one of us has laid somebody away. Brother Trotter, your father has been, he's not dead. He's separated from the body. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. But one of these days, there's going to be a reunion of the body. I said there's going to be a reunion of the body. The same Christ, the same Jesus that called this young man back into his body. I don't care whether it was one day or 2 days or 2,000 years. Everyone that ever died, there's going to be a reunion with that body. When I was a young sailor in the United States Navy, I buried 6 men at sea at the invasion of Okinawa when we were there in World War II, and I led them to Christ before I buried them. I buried him at sea, but one of these days there's going to be a reunion of those souls with the body. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I said, Jesus is coming back. There's a rapture of the church that's going to take place. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds of the sky. We shall be changed. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to be changed? Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a Christ that has power over death. He went into the regions of the damned. He threw off principality. He threw off powers. He marched right up to very Satan himself, old Lucifer. And it says he took the keys of death. He took the keys of hell and the grave. He opened the graves of the Old Testament saints. He led captivity captive. He led a procession out of Hades and moved them into paradise. He said, follow me. He gave power over death and hell of the grave. He did not bargain with the devil, but it says he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This is your God. This is your Savior. He is concerned about your problem. He will reverse the decision. Everything that's been stolen from you, he'll see that it's restored. He is a God that is compassionate. He's concerned about you, and you are on the verge of being restored. God's heard your cry. Weep not. Your miracle is here. I said your miracle is here. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. It's time to rejoice. God has your miracle with your name on it. This is the reason why we are in your city tonight, because you are going to be the recipient of his miracle working power. Raise your hands and shout amen with me, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Just give me a few more minutes, if you will. I'm beginning to feel this thing now. I'm reading from the 7th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. Verse number 13. Let me read it again. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. He touched that casket. And they that bare him stood still. Stood still. They probably were scared to death. When he started talking to a dead man. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. What a story. He has been reunited of a parted heart. This is what he does. Jesus delivered him to his mother. And I believe this is what the miracle was wrought for. Not some big theological thing. We missed the point. He just wanted to reunite a departed boy to his mama. She had no husband. This is her only son. And he had compassion on her. And he reunited that boy. Raised him from the dead just to give him back. Isn't that just like Jesus? I said, isn't that just like Jesus? This poor, weeping woman, in order that she might be comforted. That's all he did it for. We're always looking for some theological reason. He did it because he had compassion on her. He turned her weeping into joy. He restored a parted loved one to a lonely woman. Are you listening to me? Some of you listening to my voice on radio, you have a loved one that's dying right now. You spent a fortune on medical science and they've done everything. Thank God for the knowledge that they have. But they can only go so far. One thing about the medical world, they'll tell you we've done all we can. I was holding a meeting at 160th and Broadway right next to a hospital. I stayed there for 4 months. I preached every night for 16 weeks. A mighty move of God. And it got so that the doctors were sending the people over to our meeting, the ones that they could not do anything for. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. They said, there's nothing we can do. Go next door. There's a man of God that'll lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Jesus is the answer. I said, Jesus is the answer. Oh, I like to bring this point in. I believe that Jesus, this is in miniature, I believe, when he restored that boy to his mama, he was letting us know, who are children of God, that in that great resurrection, dear ones will be given back to empty, outstretched arms. One of these days, I'm going to see my mama. One of these days, I'm going to see four of my brothers. One of these days, I'm going to see my sister Margaret. I miss her. I tried to pattern my life after her. If ever I saw God, I saw it in my sister. She's with Jesus, but one of these days, there's going to be a reunion. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't you glad that we have a hope? I said we have a hope. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe in the rapture any longer. But I come to tell you, I believe in the rapture of the church. This is going on radio. I preach it on television. I'm not ashamed of it. Just because other preachers are changing their theology, I refuse to change. I am comforted in this. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Can you shout amen? We shall not all sleep. We shall not all, there's a lot of sleepy Christians around. They're not expecting Jesus to come. But listen to me, when you look at the events in the world today and look what's happening to that third world today, I'm to tell you that Jesus is on the verge of coming back. He's opening the borders of countries so that we can get this gospel into those countries to let them know that Jesus is the Christ. Mohammed is not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Buddha is not the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want want you to know this gospel is going to be preached. God's breaking down those communistic walls, those barriers that have been put up, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and he's the one that's going to do the quick work. It's not going to be the big evangelist and the big preacher, but this is the day of the believer. We're going out into all the world, and we're going to preach Christ, and Jesus is about ready to break that blue. He is coming back. Are you ready? I have preachers tell me, they say, Shambach, don't you know that word rapture ain't in the Bible? That's not in the Bible. I said, caught up is. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and we that are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up. I said, we're going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the clouds of the sky. Did you ever wonder how God's going to do this? How's God going to do this all in one shot? I got the answer. All he's going to do is call the Holy Ghost home. And every person that's in that Holy Ghost is going to go up with him. Woo! Come on, shout amen with me, somebody. Aren't you glad you're born of the Spirit? You've got him on the inside of you. He lives in me. He walks in me. He talks in me. And when God the Father calls that Holy Ghost home, guess what? Shambach's going home with him. Put on incorruption. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm going to take my last flight out of here. This is the comfort I have. I'm going home. Never to be parted from my loved ones again. We're going to be with Jesus.
Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Comfort one another with these words. All hell's about to break loose in this world, but I'm getting out of here. I said, I'm getting out of here. How many of you getting out of here with me? Sure, tribulations come, but I'm going home. All these earthquakes, all these tornadoes, we've always had them, but they're going to be more and more of them. When I heard what happened out in San Francisco, I said, talk to them, Lord. They won't listen to me. I put a tent up right out there in that area. They ain't going to listen to preachers. God can preach a sermon without saying a word. And it only lasts 15 seconds. He'll shake up a whole area. He'll shake up a whole nation. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah, it's going to come, beloved. I said, judgment's coming on America. I said, it's coming on America, but I'm not looking for judgment. I'm getting out of here before it comes. Jesus is coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a church. I'm not talking about you that have your names on a church book, but I'm talking about you that are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have been changed. Something has taken place in your life. Your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Your sins are gone. If you have not experienced it, you can do it now. And God will perform a miracle in your life.